Psalm 135 is a psalm that calls God's people to praise the Lord. It's a psalm that challenges all kinds of people in all kinds of places to praise God. That Hebrew word praise is a word that means to show the brilliance or brightness and glory of God by praising Him, celebrating Him, boasting in Him. The idea is to shine forth the glory of God by rejoicing and praising and worshiping Him. God's people are to offer praise to the Lord by singing praises to Him and about Him that exalt Him, because He is a God who has given us wonderful reasons to praise Him. The Holy Spirit, who was used to move men to inspire the Scriptures, repeats something. It's because He wants to emphasize something and bring something to our careful attention. What this psalm certainly reveals is that worship is about elevating God, shining forth truth about God. Is what real praise actually is. So we'll see as we go through this psalm, praise is not just a bunch of emotional fluff that goes on. It's carefully and accurately thinking through truth about God and exalting Him for who and what He is. You see, God's people are called to praise God. Verse 1 through 3, praise the Lord, praise the name of the Lord, give praise, O servants of the Lord, who stand in the house of the Lord, in the courts of the house of our God. Praise the Lord, for the Lord is good. Sing to His name, for it is pleasant. You see, we praise the Lord. That word Lord is Yahweh, which is short for this word that is unsayable. And it means to lift up and exalt God as the great I am, who is able to do whatever He wants to as the self-existing Almighty God. So when we gather together, we are to gather with this view of God in mind. And then we praise the name, and that name of the Lord is threefold in the Old Testament. It's Jehovah, the self-existing sovereign God. There's Elohim, the sovereign creator of all things. And there's Adonai. It refers to the fact that He's the sovereign Lord and master over all. And God's people are to praise Him for these names. Furthermore, three more names of God are given that we must not overlook. Lord Jesus Christ. We praise the name of the Lord God. All of these names are in view. One cannot worship God if one does not acknowledge God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. He wants us to praise the Lord, servants of the Lord. So we'll see the psalm is for servants of God and all who reverence God. Servants of God have the responsibility to exalt God. And then praise the Lord, those who stand in the house of the Lord. This admonition gets more specific from those who are servants to those who are priests. Standing in the house of the Lord, it's the responsibility of those who go to public worship to exalt God. It's the responsibility to lift up His name, not our name. And then to praise the Lord, those who stand in the courts of the house of the Lord. This has reference to not only the priests of the Lord's house, but those standing in the courtyard just outside the entrance of the Lord's house. All kinds of people gathered there, and all were to praise the Lord. This entire complex was to be a place where people praised God and exalted Him. And we praise the Lord by singing praises to His name. The pronoun it can refer to the name of the Lord. It can also refer to singing praises to the Lord. In fact, in the Greek Septuagint, the for it is lovely or good is connected to the verb singing. When people gather to exalt God, they are to sing praises that exalt God and exalt the name of God. And God's name is lovely. It's a lovely thing to do in the sight of God, to gather, to sing praises to God. And then God gives cause why He wants people to praise His name. They're to praise the Lord because the Lord's good. Spend hours discussing the goodness of God and not even scratch the surface, but God is a good God who does good things, and He is to be praised because of it. He does good things to all people, even if they don't acknowledge it. And then God's people are to praise the Lord because of His choice of Israel. Look at verses 4 through 18. For the Lord has chosen Jacob for Himself, Israel as His own possession. For I know that the Lord is great, and that our Lord is above all gods. Whatever the Lord pleases, He does, in heaven and on earth, in the seas and all deeps. He it is who makes the clouds rise at the end of the earth, who makes lightnings for the rain and brings forth the wind from his storehouses. He it was who struck down the firstborn of Egypt, both of man and of beast, who in your midst, O Egypt, sent signs and wonders against Pharaoh and all his servants, who struck down many nations and killed many kings, Sihon, king of the Amorites, and Og, king of Bashan, and all the kingdoms of Canaan, and gave their land as a heritage to his people Israel. Your name, O Lord, endures forever. Your renown, O Lord, throughout all ages. For the Lord will vindicate his people and have compassion on his servants. The idols of the nations are silver and gold, the work of human hands. They have mouths but do not speak. They have eyes but do not see. They have ears but do not hear, nor is there any breath in their mouths. Those who make them become like them. So do all who trust in them. So God is to be praised because he has chosen Israel as his nation. Israel is God's chosen, treasured possession. He's to be praised because Israel is chosen and special to him. And we have this doctrine of election, and it's a great reason to praise the Lord. The fact that God chose us, and he's got reasons why he does what he does, and he doesn't answer to us. It's interesting that Jacob is mentioned. He was the liar and trickster chosen by God. Israel can praise God that all the nations of the world, God chose her. Praise God because of all the individuals in the earth, he chose us. Charles Spurgeon used to say to those who wanted to argue about election, if you want to be saved, if you want to have your sins gone through Christ, then you are elect. If you don't want to be saved and believe in Christ and have God interfere in your life, then why grumble about the fact that God has not elected you to the very things you don't want? And God's people are to praise the Lord because he's great. God is a great God, and he's greatly praised. Everything about God is great. Personality, works, care, provisions. Notice the writer says, I know. He had personal and biblical knowledge. And God's people are to praise the Lord because he is above all. It's stated here, our God is above all things that are considered to be even gods. God is the highest God and the only God, and you cannot offer worship and praise to any higher. God's people are to praise the Lord because of his sovereignty. One of the great reasons to exalt God, his sovereignty. Psalm 115, verse 3. See clearly what it is stated here. Let God be God. God does whatever he pleases to do in heaven and on earth and in the seas. He's not to be questioned or criticized about that. He's to be praised. It's a slap in God's face to deny his sovereignty. And God is that supreme ruler and can do what he wants to do. One illustration of that is the weather. God controls clouds and lightning and rain and wind. He can command hurricanes and tornadoes and lightning displays and cause rain. God is in control. God's people are to praise the Lord because of his destruction of enemies. In these verses, God reminds his people of his protections and his deliverances. He's delivered Israel from Egypt and many nations. He delivered Israel from the Amorites and the Canaanites. God destroyed nations and kings who tried to demean Israel. He does the same for us. God watches out for us, and he can take out enemies, and he is to be praised for it. And then God's people are to praise the Lord because of his giving Israel her land. God had promised a specific land to Israel, and one day he'll give her that land, every inch of it. He's to be praised for this. And then God's people are to praise the Lord because his name is everlasting. God is an everlasting God. He'll be remembered forever throughout all time. People come and go. God is the great God forever. And God's people are to praise the Lord because of his judgments of his people. The Hebrew here indicates that God is judging in behalf of his people. God is a very merciful God to his people. And one day, God will vindicate his people. He'll have mercy on Israel and bring her to her land. He's to be praised for that. Come a day when God will reward those who are faithful to him. And then God's people are to praise the Lord because of his judgment of the lost world. All of the idols of the nations are man-made. Anything that is worshipped other than the true God of the Bible is something invented by men. Ultimately, all the men who promote these things will be condemned and gone. They'll end up like the idols they worship. They'll be dead and gone. The main idols of nations are silver and gold and the works of man's hands. If men work and accumulate money, they think they have made it. But Those idols cannot speak or hear or see. Those idols have no life, and those who believe in them and trust in them will end up just as the idol. They will be gone. And lastly, God's different classifications of people are to praise the Lord. Look at verse 19. O house of Israel, bless the Lord. O house of Aaron, bless the Lord. O house of Levi, bless the Lord. You who fear the Lord, bless the Lord. Blessed be the Lord from Zion. He who dwells in Jerusalem, praise the Lord. So Israel's to praise the Lord. Aaron is to praise the Lord. Levi is to praise the Lord. You're talking about priests in both of those segments. And those who revere the Lord are to praise the Lord. Those refers to those who fear the Lord, any who fear the Lord. And verse 21 concludes this psalm. In this verse, we see exactly when this will all ultimately happen. It'll happen when Jesus Christ is in Jerusalem and sitting in the temple on Mount Zion. There'll come a day when this will all happen, and that will be when Jesus Christ is here.